We come now to the reading of our scripture for today, and I'll be reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. Normally, we read through the New Revised Standard Version, but today I'll be using the New International Version. The Lord be with you. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the one, only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find the body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish are you, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken? Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This story that I read for you today, The Road to Emmaus, the Emmaus story as it's sometimes called, is only found in this Gospel of Luke. And as you can tell, it's a story that really just involves two people. One of them, we know their name, Cleopas. But Luke doesn't tell us who the other person was. We don't know. We do know this, though. They had been disciples of Jesus. Now, they weren't in the inner group of what we call the 12, but they were disciples. We don't know when they came on board. We don't know much about them at all. But we do know that much, that they were disciples of Jesus. In this particular story, they're on their way to Emmaus. And Luke goes on to record for us that it's about 7 miles from Jerusalem. But an interesting thing is this. No one really knows where Emmaus was. To this day, no one's really sure. But we'll take Luke's word for it that it was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. A little of the background to this story is that just 3 days before, on that Friday, Jesus had been crucified. So now, with dashed hopes, They leave Jerusalem. And Luke records for us, they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And once again, now we're not privy to that conversation. We're not really sure what all took place, but I think we can imagine it probably be very close to being right. I imagine it was a conversation filled with confounding disappointment, probably anger. I imagine it's a conversation filled with darkness and gloom. Things didn't work out the way that they had hoped. It was a conversation based on shattered hopes. And I imagine if you put all of those together, you'll find them probably thinking to themselves, maybe we backed the wrong man. So, they leave Jerusalem and they head back to Emmaus. I think they go to Emmaus to escape the terrible things that they witnessed there in Jerusalem. You know, it hadn't been a very delightful weekend. Everything just seemed to fall apart on that Friday. I imagine they go to Emmaus to escape a world that seems to hold nothing sacred to them anymore. What had Jesus done? How could this have happened? Oh, they had heard rumors that very morning. They had heard rumors that some of the women had gone and discovered an empty tomb. And there were the rumors, too, that there were angels claiming that Jesus had been raised from the dead. But they were rumors. And these rumors, quite honestly, were dismissed by the disciples. If you go back to Luke 24, verse 11, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. So on to Emmaus they go. Back probably to their homes. Back to what they used to do. Back to their jobs maybe, tent makers, shop owners, stonemasons, maybe even tax collectors. And as they go, they carry with them their fears for what lays ahead. Tomorrow. And then tomorrow. And then another tomorrow. All without hope. Just a matter of survival. And I imagine they carry with them the disappointments of what was left behind. Someone they thought was their Messiah, they left him behind on a cross. But then, this takes place, according to Luke. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. We shouldn't be too surprised by that. If you read the resurrection story, you find out that most of the people that were there at that tomb in the morning didn't recognize him. You know, there's an old saying. It's difficult to recognize that which you're not looking for. And I think I can safely say that these two men on the road to Emmaus were not looking for Jesus. They had left him back in Jerusalem. But Jesus initiates a conversation. It's Jesus that acts first here. And he asks them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, and their faces were downcast. They seemed to be a little bit surprised that Jesus asked that kind of a question. What do you mean? Are you not privy to what took place back there in Jerusalem this past week? It was horrible. You not know the things that happened, and they begin to tell him about what had taken place. It was almost like reading the Passion story over again. The chief priest arrested. He was tried, and he was turned over to the Gentiles to be crucified. You didn't hear about that? But then at the end of their report, they confess. But we had hope. We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. That's a sad phrase to me. We had hope. To me, it's like when you say we had hope, it's the absence of hope. You know what I mean, don't you? Once we hoped, but now we don't. We've heard the phrase in our time. It's not a biblical statement. We've hoped. Our disappointment sometimes, we wind up saying, well, we had hoped. And for these travelers to Emmaus, they had hoped that Jesus was their Messiah. But as they walked together, Jesus began to reveal himself. He began to reveal himself first through the Testament, the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures. Luke records it this way. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the Scriptures concerning himself. Must have taken a while to do that. Because all of a sudden, Luke reports to us that they got to where they were supposed to be, and it was almost dark when they got to Emmaus. And of course, Jesus was going to keep moving on down the road. But being good Jews, these two people, these two disciples, being good Jews, they offered hospitality to Jesus. Come in. Don't go any further. It's getting dark. It's dangerous out there. Come, eat with us. We invite you to be with us. You know, it's interesting. Already in this story that we've been describing and had read earlier, we see a couple of things take place. First of all, we understand now that sometimes Jesus just shows up when we last expect it, doesn't he? On our roads to Emmaus. And then sometimes, as we just read here, he waits to be invited in by us, to be invited to our dining tables, to be invited to our worship service. And he waits to be invited into our hearts. And he never forces himself on us. Because it is through God's grace that Jesus always makes himself available to us. Always. But I want you to understand something. I'm not preaching this with rose-colored glasses on, because I can tell you now, we will always have disappointments in our lives. We can't always escape the hurts that come our way. I wish I could preach you a sermon on how to escape the hurts and pains and disappointments that come into your life, but I can't. And quite honestly, sometimes hope just won't prevail. It just doesn't. But hear the good news. Hear the gospel word today. It's often in our darkest times that Christ makes his presence known most clearly. And it's by God's grace that we have a choice in that. We can invite him in. Or we can let him pass by. And Luke records, when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Was not our hearts burning Did we find ourselves beginning to hope again? Was it something that he said? Was it the way that he approached us? So what do you do? What do you do when hope begins to be restored? You share it. You share it. And again, Luke reports, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told them what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Do you see what's happened here? They left Jerusalem in hopeless despair. But now they return to Jerusalem with their hearts burning, with a new hope, with a new tomorrow, a hope renewed. Sometimes Jesus does make all things new. A new hope. So how do I leave it with you today? How do we close this up now? How does it appeal to you? What's the message I have for you? Well, quite honestly, this is the third Sunday after Easter. You notice I didn't say the third Sunday since Easter. I said it's after Easter. You see, we're still in the midst of Eastertide. We're still in the midst of He has risen. We're still in the midst of hallelujahs. But sadly, many of those who attended Easter service 2 weeks ago, well, they left their Easter hopes in the pews. And they've gone back on to their roads of Emmaus that Monday morning. But friends, there's something we need to remember. No matter how far we move from an abandoned cross, no matter how far we stray from an empty tomb, our risen Savior meets us on our roads to our Emmaus, our tomorrows and tomorrows. And tomorrows. He meets us in the ordinary places, in the experiences of our lives. He meets us in the midst of our disappointments and our hopelessness. He meets us in the places in which we retreat sometimes when life is just more than we can handle. And I truly believe that in those moments, our hearts can be warmed. I do believe in those moments, hope can be restored. And by God's grace Almighty, I do believe that we will experience a risen Savior. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we graciously invite you to walk with us as we travel the road of life. Make us aware of your constant presence and guide us forward as we encounter the dark times and disappointments that truly come our way. And we humbly pray that you would set our hearts ablaze with new hope and assurance as you faithfully travel with us. Amen.